Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, August 24th. Timothy Noel Kalani Manning was born on December 17, 1975, in Oxnard, California, to Tom and Donna Manning. Tim moved to Midland with his family in 1981. Tim attended Midland High School, where he played golf and graduated in 1994. Tim was actively involved in his church youth group at Golf Course Road Church of Christ. He attended Texas Tech University, where he graduated with his BBA in August 1998. After dating for 6 years, he and his high school sweetheart, Cheney, married in 1998. They celebrated 25 years of marriage. Tim is survived by his wife, Cheney Manning, children Luke, Ryan, and Emily, his brothers Todd Manning and wife Mindy, and daughter Ella of Austin, Texas, Treg Manning and wife Guadalupe and their daughters Gabriella and Reagan of Midland. Tim was preceded in death by his parents Tom and Donna Manning. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Opportunity Tribe, Wounded Warriors, Convoy of Hope, and Maui Relief. The family will receive guests from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Thursday, August 24th, at the branch at NPW. Funeral service will be held at 11 a.m. Friday, August 25th, at Golf Course Road Church of Christ, with interment following at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Arrangements are under the direction of Nellie Pickle and Welsh Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Philip Adnip, also known as Phil Adnip of Midland, passed away on August 10th. The celebration of his life will be Monday, August 28th at 11 a.m. at First Baptist Church Worship Center in Midland, officiated by Dr. Darren Wood and Dr. Daniel Vestal. Phil was born April 18, 1978, in Houston, Texas, to Mike Adnip and Myra Dixon Adnip. He graduated from Midland High School in 1996. He received his Bachelor of Business Administration and Marketing from Texas Tech University in 2002. Following graduation, he returned to Midland to begin a career as an independent petroleum landman. He worked for a brokerage firm, lawyers, and independent oil companies. He is survived by his parents, Myra and Mike Adnip, brothers Mark Adnip and wife Amy, and their daughters Channing and Ashton of the Woodlands, Texas, Stuart Adnip and wife Kristen, children Grady, Hugh, and Bessie of Fort Worth, Texas, and many aunts, uncles, and cousins. In lieu of flowers, please make donations to Buckner Family Place, 421 West Pecan, Midland, Texas, 79705. James Henry Esman, also known as Jim Esman, age 90, formerly of Midland, passed away on Saturday, August 5th. He was born February 23, 1933, to Walter and Louise Esman of Tulsa, Oklahoma. He attended Oklahoma A&M University in Stillwater, Oklahoma, for 3 semesters, and then transferred to the University of Tulsa, where he completed his degree in business administration. He graduated 7th in his law school class. While attending law school at night, he worked full-time in the first gas department of Amerada Petroleum Corporation and became the administrative assistant and bailiff to Whit Y. Mozzie, the county judge of Tulsa County. After passing the Oklahoma bar exam, Shell closed its Tulsa office and transferred him to their Wichita Falls office, and then later to their division office in Midland. In Midland, he continued to work for Shell as a lease and title analyst and later landman. After 10 years of employment, he resigned from Shell in 1967 to become an independent petroleum landman and primarily worked on drilling deals, the purchase of oil and gas leases, as well as investing in minerals and royalties, up until shortly before his death. He was preceded in death by his parents, Walter and Louise Essman, his grandson, Mitchell Brandt, and his brother-in-law, Don Harold. He is survived by his wife, Sandy Pearson of Austin, by his daughters, Linda Louise Brandt and her husband, Tom of Midland, Lisa Essman Hardaway of New Braunfels, Angela Essman Spencer and her husband, Greg of Midland, and by his son, James W. Essman, and his wife, Harriet, of Midland. He is also survived by 7 grandchildren and 10 great-grandchildren. In addition, he is survived by his sister, Mary Louise Harold, of Tulsa, and several nephews. Services will be held August 28th at 4 p.m. at Holy Trinity Episcopal Church, with a reception following at the Petroleum Club of Midland. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests donations in Jim's memory to the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center or to a charity of your choice. Melvin Thomas Hirsch, who had only answered to Tommy, age 96, passed away on August 21st. Tommy was born on March 18, 1927, in New Lexington, Ohio, to Jenny and Clark Hirsch. Along with numerous family and friends, Tommy is survived by his children, Nancy and Milton Kirby of Midland, Julie and Mark Hirsch of Alpine, Texas, and Melissa and Alan White of Midland, special friend Brenda Burnett, as well as several grandchildren and great-grandchildren. He was preceded in death by his wife, Weta, and his parents, Jenny and Clark, a great-granddaughter, and a brother, Leland Hirsch. The family will receive guests from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Friday, August 25th, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, August 26th, at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel, with interment following at Rest Haven Memorial Park. The family wishes to thank all for the outpouring of love, support, and prayers. In lieu of flowers, please consider donating to Hospice of Midland, Incorporated at 911 West Texas Avenue in Midland, or to his beloved Sacramento Mountain Retreat, where he gave generously of time, talent, and treasure, building, serving, and governing at SMR 7140 Sabre Trail, Amarillo, Texas, 79124. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Heasley St. John Rook, age 81, passed away at his home on August 16th. He was a graduate of Longview High School, Gupton Jones College in Dallas, and New Mexico State University. He joined the Texas National Guard in 1960, was activated in 1961, and later honorably discharged from the U.S. Army in 1966. He was active in the oil and gas industry in Midland, Texas for over 40 years before moving to Conroe to be closer to his grandchildren. He enjoyed spending time at his ranch properties in Comanche and Falls County, Texas for over 30 years. He is survived by his wife of 60 years, Cindy, and sons Brent and Doug, their wives Danielle and Becky. He is also survived by 6 grandchildren. He was preceded in death by his parents and 3 brothers. Graveside services with military honors will be held at the Houston National Cemetery at 9 a.m. on Thursday, August 24th, followed by a memorial service at the Woodlands Methodist Church in the Ed Robb Chapel at 11:30 a.m., led by Reverend Pierce Drake. In lieu of flowers, please consider a donation to a charity of your choice. Leopoldo Leo Arriola, age 40, passed away on August 20th. A visitation will be held Thursday, August 24th, at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home, 1502 North Lamesa Road in Midland, from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m., with a rosary starting at 7 p.m. Funeral service will be Friday, August 25th, at San Miguel Archangel Catholic Church, 1100 Camp Street in Midland, at 10 a.m. Interment will immediately follow at Serenity Memorial Garden Cemetery. Funeral arrangements are under the care and direction of Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at asanchezTFH.com. Joe Zarate, age 68, of Midland, passed away on Saturday, August 19th. He was born to Paul and Trinidad Zarate on October 12, 1954, in Midland. He graduated from Midland High School and worked most of his career as a grocery manager at Albertsons. He married Sharon Thompson on December 21, 1974, and they would have celebrated their 49th wedding anniversary this year. Together, they have 3 kids. Joe was preceded in death by his parents, by his brother Rodolfo Zarate, nephew Rodolfo Zarate Jr., niece Palsy Zarate, and precious great-grandchild Errol Muniz. Joe was survived by his wife Sharon, his son Joey Zarate, and wife Jessica of New Braunfels, daughters Julia Lujan and husband Edward, and Christina Acevedo and husband Jaime, all of Midland, as well as several grandchildren and great-grandchildren. A public visitation for Joe will be held Friday, August 25th, from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home and Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring Street, Midland, Texas, 79705. A rosary will occur Friday, August 25th at 6 p.m. at Ellis Rest Haven Funeral Home. A breakfast reception will occur Saturday, August 26th from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. at Ellis Funeral Home. A funeral mass will occur on Saturday, August 26th at 12 p.m. at San Miguel Archangel Catholic Church, 1100 Camp Street, Midland, with a burial to follow at Rest Haven Memorial Park, 4616 North Big Spring Street in Midland.
Here is the Dear Ibe column that appeared in the Midland Reported Telegram on Thursday, August 24th. Boyfriend in no hurry to walk down the aisle. Dear Abby, I'm 44, and I have been dating a wonderful man for the last year and a half. He's 44 as well. He has a nice home and job and has 50-50 custody of his 3 children, who adore me. I'm good to them, and we all get along well, just like a family. The problem is, he goes back and forth about marriage. I have made it clear that, although I have no desire to pressure him, I do want to be married again one day. I said I'd rather be let go than led on. He said he isn't sure, and some days he says he may never remarry. The last time we talked about it, he said it's a possibility, but He didn't want to be pressured. It has to be his idea. How long should I wait until I say enough is enough? I'm not getting any younger. Signed, Fixed on Marriage. Dear Fixed, when was the last time you had this discussion? You have described a man who is comfortable with things just the way they are. A year and a half is a reasonable amount of time to decide whether a relationship is serious enough to lead to something more. Give him 6 more months, during which you do not mention the word marriage. By then, you will have invested 2 years. After that, ask if he has made up his mind about the two of you being married, and if his answer is anything less than yes, move on. Dear Abby, I have a family issue concerning the recent untimely death of my only younger brother, who died of pneumonia in Georgia. His wife had him cremated the following day instead of having a funeral. She didn't inform his immediate family about it until it was over. Was that legal? And was it the right thing to do? Signed, No Family Closure. Dear No Family Closure, please accept my sympathy for the passing of your younger brother. When the sibling is younger, the loss can be particularly poignant. When a married individual dies, it is legal for the surviving spouse to determine what will happen to their loved one's remains. We don't know if the subject of funerals, memorials, burials, or cremations was ever discussed between your brother and his wife. If you are wondering, rather than judge her, ask her. He may have expressed a wish not to be put into the ground, or he may have been cremated for financial reasons. While you are at it, ask if she's planning any kind of memorial. If she isn't planning anything, you may want to host one for yourselves. Dear Abby, do I give my daughter her baby book now that she's in her 40s? Does the same answer apply to a son? I just need to know if it's something a parent does. Signed, Wondering Mom. Dear Wondering, some parents give their children these mementos when they are downsizing their homes. Others offer it to them once they marry, settle down, or prove they are responsible enough that it won't be lost. Of course, before bestowing such a gift, it would be prudent to ask if it would be welcomed.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Oil Report on the Midland Reporter-Telegram for Saturday, August 26th. Methane intensity tax still on track for 2024 start. This story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. A new year is rapidly approaching, and with it, oil and gas producers could see a new tax, a methane intensity tax that takes effect in 2024, with tax collection starting in 2025. Quote, "The methane intensity tax is still coming at us," Grant Schwartzwelder, president of OTA Environmental Solutions, told the Reporter-Telegram by email. Schwartzwelder noted that there have been efforts to eliminate the tax, including the Protecting the Permian Basin Act submitted by Congressman August Pfluger, the Republican whose District 11 includes much of the Permian Basin, that would repeal the methane intensity fee. Those efforts, Schwartzwelder said, have not met with much success. His real concern is that the tax targets the independents who can least pay this additional tax. The tax builds on the Environmental Protection Agency's greenhouse gas reporting program and annual emissions report required of oil and gas facilities that emit 25,000 metric tons of carbon dioxide or more per year. The emissions inventory is calculated from measured data and standard emissions factors for each equipment component at the facility. The tax, included in the 2022 Inflation Reduction Act, applies to emissions reported under the EPA program that exceed a methane intensity threshold. According to OTA, the rate begins in 2024 at $900 per metric ton of methane emissions. For oil and gas production facilities, that's 0.2% of natural gas sold based on a 2021 sector average. For gathering and boosting facilities, it's 0.05% of natural gas sold, and for gas transmission facilities, 0.11% of natural gas sold. The fee rises to $1,200 per metric ton in 2026 and $1,500 thereafter. OTA said the fee apparently applies to most categories of oil and gas facilities emitting at least 25,000 metric tons of carbon dioxide equivalent per year, although there is an exemption for facilities in compliance with Clean Air Act 0000A, B, and C regulations. Bloomberg reported this week that the record-breaking heat experienced this summer resulted in the release of hundreds of tons of natural gas into the air as the heat forced the equipment to slow down, releasing methane into the atmosphere above the Permian Basin. The releases were captured on a new telescope, EMIT, attached to the International Space Station and scanned the Permian Basin five different days during the heat wave. Scientists studying the EMIT data identified 22 methane plumes during the heat wave, estimating they were gushing a total of more than 79 metric tons an hour, the same short-term global warming impact as 2.8 million idling cars. While this increase wouldn't be subject to the methane intensity tax this year, quote, they could really hurt companies in 2024 when an actual tax will be levied, Schwarzwalder wrote. Now they are just items on a report. In 2024, there will be money involved, end quote. Data integration is the new norm in oil patch. The story was written by Mella McEwen, oil editor. In the infancy of the oil and gas industry, oilmen used gut instinct and intuition to drill wells. Technology today is developing data that serves as that gut instinct, that intuition. Quote, today, we're able to have data-driven decision-making. It's not so much a gut feeling of, I have a good feeling about this play, but I'm looking at the data and it's telling me this is a good place to drill. This is not a good place to drill. It backs up that intuition that's been key to the industry. I feel going back to the early days, said Harrison Bedford, Solutions Engineering Manager at W Energy Software. Participating in a webinar presented by Heart Energy, Bedford and Michael Tanner, Director of FP&A at King Operating, discuss the growing trend of merging production and financial data to offer a more comprehensive picture of an operator's assets, what is generating revenue, and where funds are being sent. Quote, collaboration and communication are important because you're able to increase the efficiency in which different departments can talk to each other, look at the data sets with all their contributing elements, and are able to have a good conversation about the operation of the business. It enables a more holistic and informed approach to spending capital, addressing reservoir management, and allocating resources, end quote. Tanner said integrating production and financial data initially saved his company 10 to 15 hours a week that were spent generating reports, and cut down the cost of cleaning and aggregating the data, as well as making sure it was accurate. In integrating production and financial data, what Tanner called the meat of what managers look at in making decisions on the next well to drill, acquisition strategies and the company's future direction, be strategic and how the company wants the data pipeline to work, he advised. He said his company made sure the data ran parallel rather than in a series, and that information was updated across the board. Also, make sure the software matches with the company's standard operating procedure. And make sure the company's staff knows they all have the same goal and work toward a single set of requirements. Quote, define the roadblocks specific to your company. Second, define a plan on how you're going to integrate that data. And finally, get a buy-in from stakeholders across the organization. You really need everyone working together because ultimately the common goal is making the company more profitable and improving operations, Bedford said. The oil and gas industry is undergoing a digital transformation that is probably in the earlier stages than believed, Bedford said. He predicted data-driven decisions will become the new norm, helping companies reduce risks and opening new opportunities. Tanner urged companies to embrace open-source data and said, quote, the little guy has the advantage, end quote. Data integration is now standard, and he predicts the death of the dashboard.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.